I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, from verse 10 to verse 14. For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.
God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Last Sunday night, we launched our week of prayer as we reminded ourselves that God was present and faithful and that he wanted to move amongst us in power. Last Sunday morning, we were reminded from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Seek, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And across this week, we have seen God moving in sovereign power, demonstrating his presence. We have had reports of people healed this week from cancer. One of our staff members who was told by a doctor just before Christmas, we need to get you in, we need to get this sorted because you are very sick, got a letter this week saying she's clear. The word that was brought at the beginning of our service around someone who in the last few months have signed a divorce certificate and was here feeling devastated. That person responded during that prayer time. They received God's strength and grace. Someone who has a problem with their throat responded during that prayer time. Somebody who has a problem with their hips responded during that prayer time. God is specifically and powerfully at work in this church network. And this evening, as we draw our hear, that was a different week. As we draw our blow the trumpet week of prayer to a close, the Lord laid on my heart as we were thinking about what we should do. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14, as you have heard read by Zola. To paint the context of this for a moment, and then to invite you to pray again. This is the darkest moment in Israel's history. They are being trailed into exile. It's 606 or 605 BC, and the prophet Jeremiah, sometimes called the weeping prophet, has been raised up by God to cry out to the false prophets of Israel. You see, those false prophets have been saying things like this: nothing's going to happen to you. God's not going to let anything bad happen to you. And God told Jeremiah to say, they're liars. They're not telling you the truth. I want you to tell them the truth, Jeremiah. How would you feel if that was you? The majority voice around you, telling everybody, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. But deep in your spirit, God is saying to you, no worry. You've got a message to proclaim, and you have to proclaim it. You see, 116 years before this moment, the northern kingdoms of Israel, that's all, there are 12 nations in Israel, 10 of them, all except Judah and Benjamin, had been taken into captivity by a group of an empire called the Assyrian Empire. It was devastating. And the two tiny tribes of Judah and Benjamin said that will never happen to us because we're God's remnant. We're God's really special people. He let it happen to those other 10 because they're not as holy as us. But he wouldn't let it happen to us. Meanwhile, God was saying, no, I have something to say to you. I have been crying out to you generation after generation, and you've not been listening. I have been pleading with you to repent and return to me, and you have not done it. And at a particular moment, here's what God said, time's up. You are going into captivity, and you will be in captivity for 70 years. That's what the verses that Zola read to you refer to. Across Jeremiah and other spaces in Jeremiah 27 and Jeremiah 25, God said, I'm going to punish them for 70 years. They're going to be in exile for 70 years. I'm going to let Jerusalem, their city, be destroyed. I'm going to let the walls be pulled down. I'm going to let the temple be destroyed. It's going to become the habitation of jackals. People will look at it and laugh and say, was this the house of God? This was once one of the great majestic buildings of the earth, and now it's nothing but a ruin. And it was as that was beginning to happen that God told Jeremiah to say to the people, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. It was the darkest moment of their lives. If you're a Christian, then at some point or another, you probably have received a card from somebody, or you've sent a card to somebody with the verses that Zola read written on it somewhere. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And you probably received it at a moment when you were really struggling. I'm glad the person sent it to you. Or I'm glad you chose to send it to someone else. Because in this story that we're looking at for just a few minutes tonight, the timing couldn't have been worse in one sense, but it couldn't have been better in another. When do you need hope most? When you're feeling hopeful? Or when you are in despair? Debbie Essien is our Talking Hands leader and signer. What is the sign for hope, Debbie? From your heart drawn out. Hope. I need something to hold on to. And in one sign language, I'm not sure if it's American Sign Language or another sign language, hope is also grabbing a rope. It's at the moment when you need it most that you feel at least. And it's into that context that God comes by his prophet to say, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And maybe you have been seeking God for so long that you've lost hope. Maybe you've been waiting on him for so long, you've begun to become adjusted to your circumstances. So you're dialing down your hope and dialing up managing your disappointment. Don't do it. My belief is that God is present in this gathering, as he has been present all week, to manifest his presence, to reveal his power, to give courage and strength and grace and hope back to those who feel hopeless. We are joined tonight here by a number of people from our wider network, a network of churches across London. Some will be joining online as well. And that network has been through a tough time. This church has been through a tough time. I'm not going to pretend it hasn't. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, I declare that God has come to meet with us again, and that his power and his anointing and his grace and his mercy is being released in this house and through this house. Seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart. But listen to verse 10. Only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. I don't know why God allows some things to happen in our lives. And I can't explain it to you. Of course, I can explain disobedience. I can explain sin. I can explain deceit. I can explain all of those things. But there's still left a mystery around why we go through some of the things that we go through. But I do know this. God is never late. This scripture has him saying, only when the 70 years are fulfilled will I come to you. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know God knows. And maybe tonight is the breakthrough moment. Maybe this gathering, before you leave, you've brought heavy things in, you will leave them here as you leave this place. You'll walk out with a sense of hope and expectation risen in your heart again. God doesn't say, I won't visit you. He says, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Can I talk for a moment to the wider KTLCC family? And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I'm not going to shout it. I'm just going to say it. But I say it with the authority of the mantle that God has placed on me to pastor this house. Every promise stands. Every promise for this house stands. Every promise for the network stands. None of them can be disregarded. The only person that gets to decide that is Jesus. Every promise in Christ is yes and amen. And I pluck out any voice that has said otherwise. Any voice in your head, any whisper in your spirit, any person or any power that has tried to make you think that God doesn't deliver on his promises. God always delivers on his promises. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read this. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it will return to you after many days. God says, my word never, never returns to me void. And tonight, as you reflect in a spirit of contemplation after such a powerful, powerful sense of God moving amongst us, don't think that he's not moving now. He's brought you into a period where you can be reflecting on the promises that he has spoken over your life. Call them to mind. Bring them back into your memory. Have you seen them all fulfilled? If you haven't seen them all fulfilled, as you sit listening to my voice, say, Lord, fulfill your promise. I'm laying it before you again. Fulfill your promise in me. Fulfill your word in me. Because in this text, what I read is I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise. And bring you back to this place. God never fails. And maybe you remember a moment in your life where God was at work more powerfully, or God was present more profoundly, or God was evidencing his grace more deeply. Let me talk for a moment to those of you that are the leaders of this house and have not done this. Maybe you look back and there was a moment or a day at some point in the history of this beautiful house and you think, if only it was like that again. That is not what God wants to do. God wants to take us not backwards, but forwards into all of his promises and his plans for us. And whether it be you, Pastor Roland, or you, Pastor Praise, or you, Pastor Tayo, or it be you, Pastor Eddie, or you, Pastor Marcelo, I speak over your houses. I speak over your fellowships, life and abundance and provision and a new day and new grace in the name of Jesus. Pastor Akuswa, who else is a pastor in the network that's with us tonight? Put your hand up if you are. I can't see you all. Wherever you are, I'm speaking life over you. And I'm taking back anything that sought to speak something else over you. And in the authority of Jesus, I'm saying we will receive all that God has for us. And look around this house, because I want you to remember this night. There will come a night when this house is not big enough for what God wants to do. We will overflow the walls. We will overflow the vats. We will overflow the seats. We will not be able to contain what God wants to do in this house. Amen? And God is saying to you and to me tonight, if you want me to move in power, bring me a bottle and I will fill it. Bring me another and I will fill it. Bring me another and I will fill it. As many as you bring, I will fill. Because if you seek me, you will find me with all of your hearts. What is it that he promises? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare. And not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. Do you think that that's how Jeremiah felt? Do you think that's how he, in his spirit, felt? As he saw Jerusalem's walls being pulled down, and its houses being burnt. Do you think this is not harm? Do you think that's what he felt? What God was saying was entirely contrary to the evidence. And in that moment, Jeremiah, as a prophet and a servant of God, had to make a choice. Do I believe what God has promised, or do I believe only what I'm seeing with my eyes? Thank God he chose to believe what God had said. Sometimes faith has to sing in the face of fear. Sometimes what you need to do, if you're a follower of Jesus, is stare right into the abyss of what you're going through and then ask God to give you the grace and the courage. And you've got to stand up and say, this is not the end of my story in Jesus' name. That's what Jeremiah had to do. When I became a Christian many years ago, one of the things that God gave me was a deep and a profound hunger for his word. It's never gone away, actually. I love the Bible. And I remember the first time that I read through the scriptures. I was saved in February 1986. And in the first week, I read the Bible from cover to cover. And the second week, I read it from cover to cover. And the third week, I read it from cover to cover. I read it every week for a year. I couldn't get over this amazing book. But I remember the first time, because I didn't know the Bible. I hadn't read it. And I came to Jeremiah, and I didn't really understand it. But then in the Bible that I had, it said afterwards, there's a little book called The Lamentations of Jeremiah the Prophet. And it turns out that Jeremiah was brokenhearted. He walked around the city of Jerusalem, and as he saw it burning, he cried out to God. And that's what's in the book of Lamentations. It's his record of how he feels. So this man is holding on to the promises of God at the same time as crying out for the intervention of God. That's what it means to be a pastor and an intercessor. To lead God's people, you have to face the reality of what they're facing and then declare the truth of His word over their circumstances. And I will never forget Jeremiah 2, 19 to 21. It still brings me to my knees. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your hearts like water for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Jeremiah knew that God had promised that He would bring them back. But he cared so deeply about this city that he fell to his knees and cried, God, save the children. Why was he crying it? Because by the time you get to this part of the story, parents are eating their children. Famine and siege has destroyed hope. People are wasting away. And as he walks through the city, he cries out, tonight, don't take, seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, as a pat on your head to say, isn't it great? Take it as a call to arms. Do you know what I want? I want everything that God has for me. I want everything that God has for my family. I want everything that God has for my wife. I want everything that God has for my children and their husbands and their wives. I want everything that God has for my grandchildren. I want everything that God has for this city. I want everything that God has for KT. I want everything that God has for LCC. I want every single thing. I don't want a single thing missing. And I will seek Him until I find Him. This is not a call to comfort alone. This is a call to arms. This is a call to cry out to God, to look with prophetic eyes and see the welfare that He can bring instead of the harm that has rested upon us. To see a future with a hope and not a future with despair. But it is also an invitation. I wonder what would have happened if the people had said no. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes. Is anybody receiving that as a word from the Lord? Into your spirit, into your life, I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you. Hallelujah. From all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. At one point, the Kensington Temple London City Church Network had over 120 churches in it. Tonight it has around 30. I call all that God wants back in the name of Jesus. I call them back. And I don't just mean those that have gone. I mean new fellowships. I mean new life. I mean new expressions. But you know what that takes? It takes a band of people like you to say we will be your hands and feet. Amen. It takes us to stand on our feet and say, Lord, and seeking you, we are laying our lives at your feet. Use us for your glory. The language of verse 13 is full of passion and power and energy. Search, seek with all of your heart. The years that lie ahead for us are years in which we will gather again and again and again. But I am aware that tonight, there will be many here that are not part of the KT family, not part of the LCC network. You've come because you're seeking a touch from God. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad God brought you to this gathering tonight. I'm glad because in this passage, we read a promise of restoration, a promise of gathering, a promise of renewal. We see a promise of the God of Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like unto you, O Lord our God, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders. God is present here tonight, not because Malcolm Duncan is here, but because of his son, Jesus Christ. And because he died and rose again and has ascended and will return, because he has sent his spirit, Jesus gave express and explicit instructions to those that he commissioned for his service to continue his ministry. And his ministry was healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and preaching the gospel. So we are here tonight not only to call on God to move amongst us in our network, we are here to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, and to announce that the good news of Jesus Christ still works. You are healed from disease. You are delivered from demonic control, and you've forgiven your sin. Be careful you don't mix those up. If you are possessed or held by the power of evil tonight, if you've allowed things to get into your life, the only thing that can set you free is deliverance by the power of Jesus Christ. But his power is present in this place. He has the power to break evil's control over your heart. He has the power to set you free because he died and rose again. He disarmed and defeated the powers of darkness on the cross. And I declare over you tonight that he is the same delivering God today here in this house as he has ever been. In Matthew chapter 8, we are told that the same Jesus walked around and healed people so that it could be fulfilled what was written in Isaiah chapter 53 about him. By his stripes we are healed. God heals people today. And he still forgives sin. If you are held captive by something, it will be one of those three things. Sin, sickness, or evil. And the answer to them all is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that as we move back again to calling on the name of Jesus, you will understand that this is not hype. This is not entertainment. This is not trying to whip up a crowd. We are intense about this and desperate about this because Jesus Christ is the only answer to a broken world. No one else can set you free. Today in our services this morning, I threw out the net in the 9 o'clock service and three people stepped toward Jesus Christ. I threw out the net again in the 11 o'clock and 11 people stepped toward Jesus Christ. And tonight I am going to throw out the net again, and I pray that some of you will step toward Jesus Christ and that you will find forgiveness of sin. You see, what Jeremiah says here that God says to them, he says to us, seek me. Tell me you need me. Acknowledge you need me. Be honest that you need me. Don't worry about the person on your left or the person on the right. And let me suggest to you that if somebody says to you, you don't need God, ignore them. There were false prophets in Jeremiah's day, and there are false prophets today. The only one that can set us free for eternity and wholeheartedly is Jesus Christ. No one else can do it. But I have seen him do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He is faithful to his word. And when we lift him up, he draws people to himself. So in a sense, tonight, as we bring this week of prayer to a close, you've already seen deep and profound ministry. But I want us to continue in that vein. And if my voice wasn't quite so croaky, and I was able to play the trumpet, I would blow a horn now and say, we're not finishing blowing the trumpet tonight. Every time we gather, we need to blow the trumpet. We need to keep blowing it because there's a city that needs Jesus. There's a nation that needs Christ, and there's a commission on this house to win London and the world for Jesus Christ. So blow the trumpet in your head, blow the trumpet in your heart. And I call you this evening to seek him with all of your heart, not just for a blessing, not just for a shiver and a shake, to seek him for a shaking of the nations, for an end time revival that will stretch across every continent and reach into every city and touch every nation. If we could only have a glimpse of what God wants to do through us, we would fall to our knees in humility and in thankfulness and in utter dependency. There is a wave coming here. A wave of power, a wave of life, a wave of men and women coming into the family of God. And we need to be ready. We don't wait, we start. So listen to God for a moment, Christian. Where might he ask you to take a stand? Where might you need to cry out to him? What neighborhood, what city, what professional band of people, what community, what family, where can you be God's sentinel? Where will you blow the trumpet? Or to put it another way, where will you seek his face? And seek him, and seek him, and seek him, and seek him. Do you know this morning we put out a call for women and men to step into our prayer intercessory ministry across general intercession, across altar ministry, praying for our services, watchman ministry. You can still sign up to that if you feel called and you want to be able to help by seeing Pastor Lily, one of my colleagues who's here tonight. But this morning, we put that out and over 60 people have signed up already. This house is a house of prayer. There's a hunger to seek the face of God here. But there's a deep need to seek the face of God here. I want you to think for a moment about your own life. I want you to reflect on how you will respond in the rest of this gathering. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. Records a cry from the prophet. And he cried out to God, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Another prophet said this, "Lord, in wrath remember mercy." My prayer tonight is, "Oh God, that you would rend the heavens and come down and visit this city and visit this nation and visit this church and visit our network and move in such a way that no matter what we do, we will not be able to contain the abundance of your blessing." But alongside that, my prayer is that you tonight will know that when you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. And the Lord Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has come to this house this evening to stand in front of every single one of you in this room and online and give you the chance to receive eternal life if you've never received it before. To offer you healing and deliverance and forgiveness. But you must ask him. Seek him. And you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart.